Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Thank you for joining me today. With me is Stephanie Scotti, who is the founder and director of Professionally Speaking Consulting LLC, which is a communications consulting agency that's focused on executive communication success. Stephanie has a unique ability to help her clients consistently outperform the competition, gain recognition, and win new business. Stephanie and I met through the National Speakers Association. She has coached thousands of high-level decision makers in diverse and recognized regional, national, and global companies. Stephanie's considered an expert in communications and public speaking, and she is a contributing author for the online publications Smart Brief on Leadership. And we were very excited as part of our National Speakers Association mastermind to see that Stephanie was published in Huffington Post, as well as she publishes her own group of articles and tips called Speaker Notes. She prepares training materials, blogs, and newsletters. Stephanie, I see you've got a lot of experience in presentation skills. How did you get involved in this specific niche?
Oh, Pat, you know what? It goes all the way back to college. And I actually studied speech education in college, thinking that I was going to be teach secondary education high school in Northern Virginia. But as it turned out, I decided to take a different route. And my first job was working on a National Speakers Bureau for the federal government, actually training mid-level through White House staff to go out and speak on energy policy. Since then, I've had the great fortune of growing that career, either as a career or as a secondary interest in my career growth, either way. But for the past 20 years, I've been doing it full-time. And having the opportunity to work with business leaders, as you said, across the globe, preparing them for those pivotal presentations that really can, you know, take somebody's career to the next level or win that next big piece of business or even influence how policy is developed on Capitol Hill. So it's been a wonderful career.
I know you've worked with lots of people in different types of leadership and business development roles. The people who listen to this podcast are legal nurse consultants who are business owners and have expertise in the medical aspects of cases. What have you seen in general in terms of what's most challenging for people when it comes to making presentations?
You know, your audience here has such a critical role they play in the medical field. And the one thing I have seen that most people struggle with pretty consistently is the ability to be really clear about what they want their messaging to be. You know, to really step back and be able to summarize in one simple sentence the essence of what they want people to walk away from as a result of listening to them. And that takes some thought, really thoughtful consideration. Some of your audience, if they ever watch TED Talks, they might hear this called their idea worth spreading. You know, in my world, when I work with clients, I call it their core message. But it's really getting that clarity of knowing exactly what you want somebody to walk away with in terms that anybody could understand. And that's what I find people struggle with the most, and I would suggest that's perhaps where your audience or your legal nurse consultant may want to be focusing if they're preparing for a presentation, perhaps to deliver maybe at an attorney's office, if they're doing a lunch and learn environment, if they find themselves in that kind of environment, to really be able to step back and say, what do I want this group of attorneys to walk away with? What will be most relevant to them at the end of my talk? And getting great clarity around that.
I know that legal nurse consultants have had the experience, as I have, of sitting in the back of a conference room at an attorney's annual conference or at a continuing ed program. Trial attorneys put a lot of focus on exactly what you said, of how can they take a complex case and make it understandable to a jury. The jury's average education may be high school level. Rarely is it college level if you looked at all the people in the jury. So trial attorneys in particular are focused on taking complex and making it simple, and they expect legal nurse consultants to be able to do the same thing when they do a presentation at their law firm or they're explaining a case to them to help the attorney understand the medical issues. As you mentioned, legal nurse consultants may have the opportunity to come into a law firm and teach a small group of people. And let's start with that setting first. And then I also want to ask you about going into a large group setting. Attorneys are often busy. They come into a conference room for a lunch and learn, for example. They're distracted. The phone's ringing. People are sending them text messages. Somebody said, go into the conference room. A legal nurse consultant brought food. Go in and learn something. How does the legal nurse consultant start that presentation in that environment with what she's planning to present? First of all, how does she get the attention of people so that they can shut off their phones and turn off their minds and just concentrate?
You know what? That's an uphill battle sometimes. It can feel that way, can't it? Let me just share with you a thought that I'd like to plant in people's minds. A lot of times, going back to when you said making something simple, and I think that's a great way to think about it. You're making the complex simple. But I also like to think about it as making it consumable. In other words, some people say, oh, I'm dumbing it down. And I don't like that phrase, dumbing it down. You're taking complex information and you're making it so I can get it. I can consume it. And if you, I think if people think about it that way, sometimes it's a little bit more tolerable, or it's another way of considering it, and it helps them to simplify that message. So that's what I would suggest that people keep in mind. But I think your specific question here, Pat, just let me check in with you very quickly, is here's a legal nurse consultant. They're going into a conference room. They've brought lunch for the attorneys. How do they get their attention? Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay, wonderful. I would suggest that the whole effort begins before you walk into that room. And I understand that attorneys are very busy and it might be hard to get them on the phone, but if you can find somebody in that office, one person, maybe two people, that will spend 5 minutes with you on the phone, and you find out what they're really interested in, not what you want to talk about, but given your topic or your area of expertise, what part of that is going to appeal to them and why? So many times when we have an expertise, we're willing to share our expertise. But I'm saying you have to take it one step further. You have to put yourself in their shoes and try to figure out why are they in the room and what about this particular topic will appeal to them. So I think it starts even before you show up. It starts when you are starting to craft your message. Now, I know people might be saying, well, I can't do a new presentation for every single group. You know, I've got my stock presentation that I give, you know, my boilerplate. And I'm suggesting that you can take about 20% of what you normally give and just ask some key questions that allow you to customize it to that audience. Because that might make the difference between them listening or tuning out. It could be as simple as you find out about, I don't know, a case they worked on and what made the difference for them in that case. And you use that as an example in your presentation. You know, maybe you find out a question that they're researching that you may be able to provide insight on. You just do something where they're sitting there and they think, oh my gosh, how did this person know that? That's exactly what I needed. That's the perspective I was looking for. So that questioning up front can make a world of difference. Think about just customizing 20% of your talk. The second thing is that once you get there, I know that the legal nurse consultant may be very involved setting up the room, making sure the logistics are taken care of, making sure lunch is there on time. I get all that. If they can have somebody that can help them with that piece of it, so that they can focus on the audience that's walking in that room, greet them, shake their hand, look them in the eye, mention what you're going to be talking about, ask them what brings them and why are they interested in this topic. Just a quick question. An engagement with each of these people can make a huge difference in terms of their level of interest and their engagement at that point. And you might find, as a speaker, that you get a critical piece of information that really influences how you position something or how you tell a story. It makes all the difference in the world. The other good news is that when you get actually stand up to speak, you've all actually touched somebody. You know, you've shaken their hand, you've met them. So you've built that bridge and that rapport that allows you to stand up and talk to them. Like they're your friends now, like they're an acquaintance versus strangers coming in the room. So those are some key things to think about. I've pretty much given up on people turning off their devices. And I think that's something we need to get used to. You know, if they are engaged, they may choose to turn off their devices. But I find people can get annoyed if you ask them to turn off their devices at the beginning of a presentation. It's really up to you to capture their attention so that they listen to what you're saying, but recognize that life is going on for them. And the fact that they're there and paying attention sometimes needs to be enough. If they need to take a call or answer a text, it's you just being able to keep them engaged and keep forging ahead.
You know, you make me think about a program I taught several years ago to nursing home administrators as part of their mandatory continuing medical education or nursing home administrator education, and they were used to going in and having their body in the room but not paying attention. So they always brought newspapers with them. And I looked around the room and I watched the people who had newspapers in front of them, and one person opened up a newspaper and immediately closed it. And no one else touched their newspaper. And at the end of the day, one of the guys came up and said, "You know, Mrs. Iyer, you were so interesting. I didn't get a chance to read my newspaper."
And Pat, what did you do to get their attention?
I told them stories about cases. I made it real for them. I talked about their risks. It was directed to their specific needs. But I think the stories were key, and I wanted to ask you about that, Stephanie, because it's a consistent theme that I hear over and over again. Use stories when you speak, use stories when you write, use stories when you blog. How do you weave stories into the type of presentation that we're discussing?
Mm-hmm. And people call them stories, and I think that's a great word to describe it, but I also think of them as examples. I think sometimes stories sound lofty to people. And if you could think about you're giving examples, you're giving cases, you know, you're telling it in a way that's relatable. That's what a story really is. So I reposition in my mind as an example because it's easier for me to come up with examples than it is sometimes for me to come up with what we might call a story. So that might be helpful in terms of people thinking about it. But I worked with a NSA, National Speakers Association coach a couple years ago, Glenna Salisbury, who's known for her storytelling, and she gave me a formula that perhaps your audience would be interested in too, in thinking about stories and how to weave them in. But it was SPA was the acronym she used, SPA, and that stood for Story Point Application. So you would tell your story or your example. You let people know the point of the story, and then the point of the story, and then you say how it applies to them. So if you think of a story point application, let me give you an example that might be relatable to your audience here. And a couple years ago, my husband had to have some surgery on his neck. It was very serious surgery, and we were interviewing a series of doctors. And we interviewed this one doctor in New York, and it was the third person we had talked to, and we walked out, and he said, "Do you know who you think I should go with? What's your opinion?" I said, "Absolutely." And he said, "Who?" And I mentioned this physician at the Hospital for Special Surgery. And he said, "Why?" And I said, because he took something so complex and explained it to me in 30 seconds. In those 30 seconds, I got it, John. So if anything happened to you, I know I could trust him to help me understand what transpired and what I need to do next. So the point of that story is that the clarity and the simplicity that was given to me, how they took something complex and made it consumable, and how it might apply to this audience, is that same kind of clarity in giving any examples that they share with their audience.
Wow, that was beautiful, Stephanie. I saw the story, the point, and the application. Excellent.
Great. I'm glad that was helpful. Thank you.
Let's switch our focus to a large group presentation. Attorneys have, in some states, mandatory continuing legal education. They have one-day conferences. They have annual conferences. They bring in speakers, a combination of attorneys, local experts, such as technology experts or legal nurse consultants, and ask them to do what's the equivalent of breakout sessions to groups of attorneys on medical issues. It is a wonderful opportunity for legal nurse consultants to get exposure to an audience. I remember being asked to do a program on my role summarizing medical records for pain and suffering. I did a presentation and there were about 30 people in the room, and I must have gotten at least $200,000 worth of work out of those minutes that I was presenting on this concept. I had 10 minutes, and in that 10
wow.
minutes, I explained the role, how it applied to them, and had people lined up afterwards asking me, can I have your card? I've got a case. So being able to connect with the right audience with the right answer can be extremely helpful for your business. Mm-hmm. But often attorneys sit in those rooms and they are being lectured at, particularly by less skilled speakers. What's the problem with a legal nurse consultant lecturing at an attorney?
Well, you just used the key word, and the word was at, A-T. You know, no one likes to be talked at. People like to be engaged and related to. So I think of that in terms of a speaker. Are you trying to get through it? Or are you focused on your audience getting it? And what you described in your situation, when you got that business, what an incredible story that is. I would love to know how you prepped for that, Pat. But you were really focused on them getting it, understanding what you were talking about, understanding how it applied to them. So you were focused on your listeners, on your audience, not on you. And that's a key differentiator. Many people who are new or that are nervous or unsure of themselves are more focused on them and just getting through it. It's kind of like checking it off your to-do list. Let me get through this. And many times when we think that a training session is mandatory, we view it as something we just have to get through. So that simple change in perspective from focusing on yourself to focusing on them, and the goal being that they truly walk away with something of value. Simple change of perspective can change how you approach the whole situation. So in your case, I heard you say that you helped them understand the role, how they could benefit from the role, and gave them the content they needed to see how they could take it to the next level, and that's what they did with you.
And we started the program with myself and an attorney reading a small segment from the deposition in which the plaintiff, who was injured in a car crash, was very stoic in her deposition. She was asked, how has this changed your life? Well, it really hasn't. I still do the same things. Well, do you have constant pain? No pain. She kept minimizing her symptoms, even though she was seriously hurt, but she thought those were the answers that she should give. So when the attorney and I finished reading this little brief segment and I played the woman and he played himself, I looked at the audience and said, the attorney realized at that point he had a problem, and he hired me to prepare a report that summarized all of her injuries, and it turned into a very nice verdict. It was a very large verdict for her, given her age and her injuries. So it started with a story, and then we made the point, and then we applied it. Hey, look, Stephanie, there it is.
That certainly did. And the wonderful part of it is you had one of their own up there. You had an attorney up there with you, so somebody that they could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a role play for them, so that was immediately engaging. You know, and then you had content that they could all relate to. What a great example that is, Pat.
Well, thank you.
You were able to do.
Mm-hmm. Tell
Absolutely.
Us, give us some tips on how you can make a program interactive. We've just talked about the problems with being lectured at, and I've given an example of something simple that I did. But what are some other things that legal nurse consultants could do to make a program interactive?
There's so many things that you can do, but the one, the baseline that most people think about is just simply having a question and answer session. You know, being willing to entertain questions from your audience. And, you know, I not only say questions, but I also say comments. Because people may not have a question, but they may have something they want to share or state or comment on something that you told them. So the baseline is simply deciding you're going to have a question and answer session, and then it's whether you're going to integrate it as part of your talk or whether you're going to save it for a particular segment of your talk. So that's baseline. And let me share with you one thought kind of as an aside. Anytime you want any level of interactivity, whether it's a role play like you've just done where you're looking for a level of engagement because you want them to get emotionally engaged with what you're saying, or whether it's a Q&A, or whether it's an exercise you're asking them to do. One, there's a key behavior that has to be there, and that key behavior is eye contact. If you want people to be engaged, you have to be willing to look at them in the eye, straight ahead, with a pleasant look on your face, so you're kind of inviting them in. The minute you drop your eyes, let's say you're inviting a Q&A session, if you say, I'd love to entertain some questions or comments that you may have, you need to look out at people. If you drop your eyes even for a second, they will think you are insincere and they will not step up and ask. So please know that's a behavior for any level of engagement or interactivity that's absolutely required. But going back, there's always the Q&A and deciding whether or not you want to have Q&A. There's role plays, like you just gave us an example of with your story there. I worked with one client. He was just delightful. He was an introvert. This was a huge risk for him. There were 5,000 people in the room, and I know that's different than 30 people, but what he did is just so wonderful. And he was very upset about something that was happening in the industry, and he reflected on the movie Network. And many people that saw that movie probably remember this scene where the one of the characters opens a window and he screams, "I'm not going to take it anymore." Well, this particular client actually reenacted that scene by himself, pretended he was opening a window, and said, "I'm not going to take it anymore." And he looked at his audience and he said, "Are you going to take it anymore? If you're not, stand up and let me hear you. Come on, stand up." And they all stood up and shouted it back at him, "We're not going to take it anymore." It's a great level of interactivity that he was able to engage. But that's a very high level. What you described, too, is a very sophisticated level of involvement with your case study. You can also do something fun that I enjoy doing. I'm always amazed that adults get into this and get a kick out of it. I give out colored dots when people ask questions. And at the end of the session, depending on the number of dots, there may be a reward they get for it, you know, some kind of a giveaway. And it's amazing how adults love to be competitive about how many dots that they're going to collect. So then of course there's always small group work. You can give people an assignment and say, you know, just turn to the right, talk to the person next to you, and give them a question to share among themselves. So it can be anything from a large group activity that you did, like a case study, or that my client Richard did, getting people up and screaming. It can be a Q&A, where just one person stands up and asks a question or makes a comment. Or it can be even small group work, where you ask people to turn to the neighbor or get in groups of three and give them something to do, answer a question, or generate some thoughts about a particular topic.
All wonderful strategies. I wanted to wrap up by asking you one final question, which is about the skills that you see as being critical to being effective as a presenter.
Oh, you know what? I think it starts right from your messaging. I'm a believer that content drives delivery. And as a speaker, you've got to really believe in what you're saying, believe in your message, and the clarity that you're able to give it. And once you have a good, strong message that you believe in, the actual delivery part of it gets easier. People who struggle in delivery are people who don't necessarily believe in their message or don't believe that their message is applicable to this audience. So the clarity and the credibility starts there. In terms of actually delivering it, you know what, I'm a big believer in rehearsal. And part of a rehearsal is, before you stand up and start delivering your talk, just sit down at the table and read your script to yourself or practice saying it out loud or just review your notes, however you put your thoughts together, or go through your PowerPoint. But sit down. Don't put pressure on yourself to do this fabulous delivery to start. Just sit down and say it to yourself out loud. Out loud is key. If it's a new talk, I'm pretty much going to guarantee you the first three times you say it out loud, you're going to be changing it. Because that's when you're going to find out what works and what doesn't, what trips you up, what word you need to change. So don't be surprised if you're editing your talk, even the third time you're saying it out loud. And then once you're really comfortable with that content, you stand up and you start practicing it, standing up and moving around and adding movement and gestures to it. Because now it's kind of getting into your body, you know, and it's finding a home. And that's key. So it's the rehearsals before, but I'm a big believer in a pre-game ritual. Before I step up for prime time, I'm going to do a couple of things for myself. And one of them is called a power pose. And Amy Cuddy, who's a professor at Harvard, came up with this. She has a TED Talk that's about 18 minutes long, but there's a shorter version that's only 4 minutes long that people can find on YouTube. But it's Amy Cuddy's power pose, and it's poses you can take. The most famous one is the Wonder Woman pose, that's standing with your feet about shoulder distance apart and one hand on each of your hips, as Wonder Woman would have. And what they find is when you assume these certain poses that tend to be open, your body is more open versus closed in and hunched over, they're open and wide, that your cortisol levels actually decrease and your testosterone actually increases. And with this change in chemistry, things, those butterflies that people get, tend to get aligned. And when you step up to speak, you're larger, more open, and clearer in your communication. So a couple of things is make sure your content is clear, allow yourself to rehearse, expecting you to edit your talks up to the third time when you're saying it out loud. And then determine a pre-game ritual for yourself. How are you going to get yourself mentally prepared before you step up on that podium or in front of that conference room? And consider a power pose to help build up that energy and make sure you're clear in your direction when you step up.
And for those of you not familiar with Amy Cuddy, her last name is spelled C-U-D-D-Y, and you can find her video on YouTube, either searching for her name or the word power poses. Stephanie, if our listeners want to get more information about you, what website should we direct them to?
ProfessionallySpeaking.net. ProfessionallySpeaking, all one word, .net. And what they will find is if they go over to the blog at that site, they'll find some articles as well as some tools that can help them in developing their presentations. So all types of tips and strategies, as well as some job aids.
I appreciate you sharing your expertise with our audience, Stephanie. You've certainly given me some tips that I know that I'm going to be using at the next time that I'm doing a presentation. And thank you for being part of Legal Nurse Podcasts.
Thank you, Pat, and it's been a pleasure to share this with your audience.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.